Well, we all know that my text this morning is going to be from Genesis, and indeed it's a very short text. Verse 1, in fact, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And later on, in verse 38, Genesis says, "God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good." Excellent. Now, I have a special affinity to Genesis chapter 1. It contains for me the very essence of conservation and biodiversity, the linking together of all parts of God's creation into a gigantic, fantastic network. I began environmental work a long while ago now, over 50 years, with the Wildlife Trust and the God's Acre movements. And for many years, I taught environmental science, and that did involve countless fieldwork expeditions to various parts of the United Kingdom, with youngsters of all ages. You could say that God's creation is in my blood. Being brought up right by God's creation of the East Norfolk coastland marshes, and of course the wonderful Broads, was a splendid start for my environmental career. Now, a guy called Franz Schaefer, in his book, 1970 I believe I read it, Pollution and the Death of Man, says that Charles Darwin, near the end of his life, found that two things, had become dull to him. One was his joy in arts, and the other, his joy in nature. And this is Charles Darwin, folks. He lost his joy in nature. How sad it is that this great naturalist lost enthusiasm for the very thing that had been his life's body and work. Now, it's my sincere conviction that we live and breathe in a world that shouts, and this is the point, the reality of God from every piece of nature, be it large or small. Now, you might say, I have to say also, and I will say here, that I was involved in all sorts of environmental, as Anne will witness, appeals, parades, demonstrations over the years. And I will say this, that there have been far more, whatever their belief, of Mother Earth people, fanatic or no, and pagans, in that sense, an atheist than Christians or messianics. Why is that? And that's one of the sadness of faith, that people very often ignore creation. But that's my own personal view. Creation is God's other book, in other words. It's his other book. We have his revelation, do we? Not in Scripture. It's writ large, his written word. But we also have his revelation given to all people. You could say his general revelation in his creation. Hence the Mother Earths and the pagans, whether they're misled in their beliefs. A study of creation from the smallest of insects to the galaxies so vast in number that we can scarce take it all in should make us gasp in awe and humility and give him, the great maker, all due praise and worship. And that is where we, as believers, differ from Mother Earthers and Gaia and people like that. Now, Jewish folk have a habit of pronouncing, do they not, a blessing on even the smallest things, day to day. They're aware that our God is the great creator. And so we say it, I mean, you can say it better than I on a Friday evening. Baruch atah Adonai, melech ha'olam, b'rei peri ha'chafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates for us the fruit of the vine. But you know, so many believers are more interested in the gloom and doom or excitements of the end times and the deteriorating state of society than in praising and stopping and actually praising the positive God's role as the creator of earth. And they do. I've seen it. Many. Often never discussed in meetings, whatever. God's creation. The naturalist Dean Allman rightly observes, and I quote, "Most of us today do not directly till the soil to obtain our food." That is correct. Someone else does that. But we need to remember that every pound we spend, every pound or dollar on food, indirectly puts the plough to the soil somewhere, applies agricultural chemicals somewhere, harvests produce from living plants, and turns ignition keys on motorized vehicles to get that food to us, or aeroplanes. The same is true, if you think about it, for our clothing, our shelter, and our necessities. I could add there, in a land of milk and honey, our endless wants. The old-time farmer, the old-time one, last century and before, daily faced the reality that if he did not care for his land properly, he threatened his own life and his family's. They'd starve, and heaven knows there have been enough starvations throughout Europe over the centuries when the crops failed after an appalling wet summer. People depended upon his wide stewardship, and that's really true today when we see individuals, we see companies, we see whole nations putting profit before the environment. And indeed, as an aside, some believe that there have been five great world cataclysmic disasters. They think that the sixth one, many experts believe that the sixth one will be a global meltdown based on a collapse of our environment. However, let's be positive. The joy of creation. One of my favourite daily reads is from a book edited by David Rudolph called The Voice of the Lord, and it gives you daily portions. One daily portion hits the nail on the head, and he says, and this is important, "Don't get stuck recounting only the world's ills and the devil's plans. Because when you get into that mood, it's a spiral. You never stop. Look around you. Look at the magnificent sky, which our King set in place. Look at the trees, whose branches reach to the heavens in the posture of prayer and praise. Gaze into the face of children." I know we've got some of it. I'm not sure about this next bit, but I'll read it. "And read the stories of bunny love in their eyes." I suppose lots do have bunny love, but sometimes they don't have bunny love. There you go. "Call to mind the magnificent people in your congregation." How about that? We're all magnificent people. Would you believe it? All magnificent people, made in the Lord's image. What he's saying is, whatever, we love the unlovable as well as the lovable. All different, true, we've seen that this morning. All gifted to do things. Amazing human beings. I like that. I like that portion. Well, he may have gilded the lily a little bit with regard to our congregation abilities, although he's quite near the mark, I think, somehow. But you do take his point. He goes on to say, today, as you check off the many activities listed on your to-do list, look around. Stop. Just look around. See God's majesty in what he has made and be glad you're alive. Amen. Many of God's people, you know, are too busy to pause and take in God's munificence. They don't stop, even when on holiday. I've read organised many adult walks in various faith communities over the years, and it's unbelievable how you can organise a walk in the countryside and people just walk around and chattering, looking for the nearest cafe or when the lunch stop would be, and not discuss or look at anything. Just walk around, blind. They just don't see an amazing sunset over, for instance, the North Norfolk Marshes. Or the mast, have you seen it? The mast wheeling, not so common these days because of the environmental problem, the mast wheeling and swooping of huge masses of millions of starlings before they go to roost, wheeling and swooping, making dark and grey patches in the sky. Thousands upon thousands of them. Incredible, miraculous vision. The bonus of it is that one doesn't need to become a globetrotter, like, for instance, Chris Packham is now going around the world, isn't he, talking about. And the great programmes, these nature documentaries, are brilliant. They're brilliant. But we don't need to be that to be astonished and joyful at the creation. You just take a walk. A little walk in an English wood at snowdrop time or bluebell time. Or walk a footpath ramble in any season in the countryside. Or simply look out of the kitchen window and look at the birds and their antics on the garden feeders. It's as simple as that. All God's work. Now, here's where we get you involved as well. My throat's getting a bit dusty. In 1885, that Swede, a Swede called Carl Boberg, B-O-B-E-R-G, wrote a mood poem dedicated to God's creation. And then the inspiration came when he was walking home from church near Kronobach in Sweden. A sudden storm caught his attention, and then just as suddenly as it had made its appearance, it subsided and everything was peacefully calm in the late afternoon. As Boberg himself recorded later on, it was that time of year, you know, when everything seemed to be at its richest colouring. The birds were singing in trees and everywhere, probably May or June. A commentator, a guy called Irving Erickson, wrote about it. And this is more detailed because this is important, because here we're now going to paint a picture of God's colouring book, if you like. A thundercloud appeared on the horizon, and soon lightning flashed across the sky. Strong winds swept across the meadows and the billowing fields of grain. The thunder pealed in loud claps. Then rain came in cool, fresh showers. In a little while, the storm was over and a rainbow appeared, God's rainbow. Arriving home, Boberg opened his window and saw the watery bay of Monsteress like a mirror before him. And from the woods, on the other side of the bay, we heard the song of a thrush. Beautiful singing of the thrush. I think probably outdoes the blackbird. The church bells were tolling in the quiet evening. And thus, what have we got? We've got a series of God's creation of sights, sounds, and experiences, human experiences within, lifting the Holy Spirit within. And that inspired him to write his poem. And later, a guy called Stuart Hine, I think he was an English missionary, Hine, end of last century, translated his poem into English and set it to music. And I think we'll, if Anna, you'll have a go at the Joanna, we'll sing that song, poem song, O Lord My God, and You've Got Your Music.
Thank you.
think that will be, as I'm leading today, I feel that that is a tremendous feeling of joy, of God's creativity and creation to end on this morning. And as for my talk, that is enough for now. Suffice to say that creation does reflect the wisdom and power of the Almighty. And that's why when we watch Autumn Watch or Spring Watch or Chris Packham's or Attenborough's excellent documentaries, always remember it's the wisdom and power of the Lord that does it and gives us the gift of life and creation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.